Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Alex Raditic, who is the leader of Nouveau Agency. Please introduce yourself and tell us why we should trust you as a digital marketing expert.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jeremy. So a little bit about myself. I'm born and raised in Missouri, so a lot of Midwest work. I've spent the last decade doing home services marketing between building websites, search optimization, articles. I mean, you name it, I've done it. You know, integrations, it doesn't really matter. I always used to pitch myself on, if you ask me to do it, I can probably do it, put a price to it, and, you know, make you money doing it. So that's sort of my background and my expertise.
Tell me about home services as an SEO niche. What's unique about that aspect of, or that subset of marketing?
Yeah. So part of the problem, or not part of the problem, but part of the uniqueness of marketing in the home services is that generally speaking, you're not marketing for repeat clients. In most cases, it's constant new lead flow. If you have a returning client and it's for the same thing you sold them the first time, it's not usually a good sign. Mm-hmm. Part of the unique challenge is always working to get new leads for the clients. And that's, educating customers or working on rankings or putting together blog posts that, can explain a specific topic, which I guess falls under educating customers. But, generally speaking, it's never recurring, not a recurring audience base.
That's a fair assessment. Because, if you're a home, if you're a pool provider, if they're calling you for a second pool, it's probably a problem.
Maybe if they bought a new house, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but that, let's be honest, that's pretty rare. That's a super rarefied, managing to land somebody that has two homes and they both need pools. I mean, I'm sure it exists, but that's not been my experience. I'm working in a revenue share partnership with a home construction. They do additions and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's been an interesting learning journey of, how much social media matters. Mm-hmm. in the home services space, the majority of visibility seems to be, Facebook, strangely enough.
Yeah. So I run into that a lot. And I find it 50-50. A lot of the companies I work with are, they're not pretty, it's waterproof. Like most of my companies are based waterproofing companies or sewer companies, plumbers, siding repair. So from the social media side, we tend to leverage a lot more on the meta advertising side as opposed to organic social media, because they don't have a lot of really good before and afters. And when they do have good before and afters, it's pulling, sometimes it can be pulling teeth to get those photos, because the staff that they have working for them, they're doing a job. They're doing a labor job, and their job isn't necessarily to take photos. And a lot of companies around the sort of $1 to $3 million mark don't have the budget to hire a marketing person to go out and take photos all the time. So we tend to leverage a lot more of the paid marketing side on Facebook, and we get decent visibility, and we use it for brand building a lot more than we use it for lead generation, mostly just due to our experiences with lead quality.
Yeah. Talking about lead quality, I interviewed Jake Melendi of Ignivito, and he did a study. I think it was 1,800 or so businesses, and less than 5%, replied within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, that's actually something I've been talking about a lot more. I've been shifting the focus of what we do to sort of a pseudo consultation, where I'm talking to business owners a lot more about speed to lead, about response times, about making, they may come back and say, the lead quality is not great. And I'm like, did you contact them right away? Are you automatically emailing them? Are you sending text messages? I'm working with one client right now where I've built an entire flow chart for speed to lead, where it goes through every single contact stage, automatically puts it in a call queue on day one and then a second call on day two if they don't answer after leaving a voicemail. And then the next 15 days, they get emails like every 7 days. So it's like three extra emails total. It's like, hey, we were trying to reach you. Like, did you get a second opinion? Do you need a second opinion? You know, trying to basically hammer home, because most of these companies offer free estimates, at least most of the ones I work for. And so it's a no-brainer to reach out to a customer after 7 days when they've, like, if they've had a wet basement, they've probably got a quote within the first couple of days. You know, people want to get that fixed fast. They want people out to their house quickly. So if you're not answering the phone, if you're not answering emails, they're going to go find someone else. But with the ticket price on those jobs, it's worth reaching out and being like, hey, do you need a second estimate? So yeah, that's a huge issue. And like, even just that can increase sales close rates by like 5-10%, which I don't think a lot of people and a lot of companies have a lot of insight into that. Like, because most home services are seasonal, a 5% increase in close rate can actually net you more revenue than a 20% increase in leads year over year with the same close rate.
That is a fantastic point of connecting both of those pieces, you know, because we would, you know, I was guilty of it from 2010 to 2020. You know, I had blindness after I had a conversion, you know, it was my job. I could get rankings, you know, and get traffic. And that's what, if I did that, then I got paid. And what happened after that was always a black hole. But I think we cannot afford that as an industry anymore to sit back on our laurels. We should be reaching deeper into the organization to make sure, you know, does the marketing we're putting out there lead to the conversations that are going to close? Are we focusing on, you know, basements when we should be focusing on attics? Is there a higher profit percentage for, oh, hey, when we do additions, there's X amount of additional that comes with it every single time and we prefer those? Or, hey, we don't want additions. You know, we want to focus on, you know, repair type queries. Like those are fit type things that over time, the invisible resentment of optimizing for leads that they don't want can become quite toxic in some relationships, honestly.
Yeah. So, and to like piggyback off of something you said. So I started this back in 2015, and very much back then it was keyword stuff, get traffic to pages. And just to jump all the way ahead here, like I have clients that are asking me to do AI stuff now. Right.
Yeah.
So I've got large clients that are like, we need to show up in AI reviews. We need to show up in AI search. And I'm like, that's great. Like, can you do AEO? Can you do GEO? And I'm like, technically, yes. But also, like, I've got a company that makes, you know, well over the $15 million revenue range per year that I do work for. And, you know, that we're talking like 300, 600 leads per month, depending on the season, the time of year. And, you know, I looked at last year and the entirety of last year, they only got 67 leads directly attributable to like ChatGPT. And I'm like, okay, well, that's worthless. And then you're looking at AI overviews are now out. You know, a lot of SEOs are like, oh, it's ruining click numbers and traffic numbers. And I found a way to like get in AI overviews, and then AI overviews equals traffic in Google Analytics because GA4 is trying to protect everyone's data, I think, and like making the numbers a little bogus there. And so like, for them, when I look at their numbers objectively, like in a 3 month over 3 month period of time, I'm seeing, or even like year over year, I'm seeing like 70-80% traffic growth year over year on a site that already gets thousands of visits a month. So we're talking about a 70% growth month year over year is like goes from like 3,500 organic that month to 7,000 organic that month. Just writing blog articles that properly cover topics and the informational topics, which is all the exact same thing that SEOs were doing and should be doing anyways. And it's just, you know, they're renaming it AEO and GEO. And so I'm not seeing a traffic drop off from it, but I'm also not seeing leads. Like, so, you know, and one thing I talked about with that client is, hey, I want to point out this really good traffic number, but I also want you to understand that lead growth, conversion growth is only like 10% year over year. So I want you to understand that, like, I could be over here trying to, like, fool you with this, like, great organic growth traffic number. That's technically what you're paying me to do, is, like, get you organic traffic. But at the end of the day, I want to talk to you about these leads, talk to you about the quality of leads. Has quality gone up because we're publishing more educational content, you know? And so it's one of those things where I try not to hide behind the data. And I feel like with the AEO and GEO stuff, there's a lot of stuff going around that just isn't accurate. Or if it's like even Google said, like, oh, it's just do all the same thing with SEO, and then Bing saying something else, it's saying the exact opposite. You should be directly optimizing for the LLMs. But like, the true answer is none of us have control over it, and the LLMs are primarily public opinion based. So unless you can sway public opinion and get branded and, you know, get in news stories and find someone to go post about you on Reddit all the time, you're just not going to do very well. So it's a really interesting dynamic trying to navigate all that stuff compared to when we started.
I think it was John Henshaw who I interviewed who said the best thing you can do to influence LLMs is to fix your broken product. Mm-hmm. Because your genuine experience of how they receive it is going to more directly correlate to what they say in the review. Mm-hmm. If they're willing to go on Reddit and sing your praises, you know, in the UGC, user-generated content, LLM poisoning can occur, but I've seen it more frequently hold a grudge and mm-hmm. refer to, especially if there's a particular weakness, it gets mentioned on Reddit of X deficiency. And then if a review occurs and has that same deficiency, then that is almost, the worry becomes the friction around it is almost more reputation management 2.0 mm-hmm. versus. Well,
I was going to piggyback off that. So like ChatGPT just signed a licensing agreement with Yelp to use the Yelp platform and Yelp reviews to pull up businesses. Yeah. And so I had to get on the meetings with my client and be like, hey, I'm going to tell you something you really don't want to hear. You need to fix your Yelp reviews. And literal groans is what I got in response, because, you know, widely accepted that Yelp is the place where everyone goes to complain. Yes. And you're only going to get complaints on Yelp. So finding customers to go write reviews, or even re-reaching out to customers that have already written reviews and were happy with your service in the past, can be a good one. I've even started telling some of my contractors, like, hey, why don't you just be honest with people and be like, hey, I'm running a business here. It's a small business. We're family owned. We're not some big corporation. I need you to write a review on Yelp. And I need you to write a review on Yelp because as all of these new avenues for us to gain business come up, like, Yelp is going to be a major player and I need help. Like, asking your customers for help, just like they ask you for help, I think there's a pride level that prevents people from doing it, or asking them, really telling them the reason behind it. And I'm like, well, I sell based on honesty. Like, someone asked me, like, can you guarantee me ranking for XYZ? And can we put in 90, 180 and 270 day KPIs? I'm like, no. No, because 3 months from now, Google could completely tank it with another, you know, algorithm update, like what I'm working on, or, you know, all of a sudden release AI overviews, or what was it? The June spam update wasn't actually a spam update, and it just completely tanked all AI overviews for a little bit and then replaced most of it with YouTube. Yeah. And then, you know, those are crawling back up now. So, you know, it's normalized a little bit, but it's still like 3/4 of YouTube results in AI overviews right now. But nobody's talking about that. So really interesting.
It is. It's about finding, you know, placement on second surfaces. You know, and part of that comes down to, you know, Matt Brooks saying, educate your offsite customer service team. You know, cloud is pretty good at answering stuff about you, but not if you tell them if you don't tell them what you do. You know, it's not, if you're a salon, you cannot just have pretty pictures of your salon anymore. I'm sorry. It's beautiful. I know you love aesthetic, and I've worked with several different salons. I had to fight tooth and nail just to be able to say the word salon, because he wanted it. No, it's an experience. Okay, but nobody is searching for experience.
Haircutting, you know? Experience.
Okay, yeah. I had him type in, go to Google and type in experience. Is that your business? Like, no, you're a salon. It was like, okay. So he finally let me say salon in like two other sentences. Those days are passing, though. Like, even mm-hmm. then, that was, like, because I could put it as an H1. But now you need to say when you're open, your focus, your specialty, your expertise, all of those things need to be communicated. How many businesses have you worked with where they had a practically either literally no about page or an about page that was maybe a picture and a cheesy, puffy sales sentence?
I still have a decent amount of those. You know, I try to fix them, and my customers are all at all different levels of involvement. Some of them, you know, some of them were built back in the day, and, you know, they get the updates, they get the speed updates, the technical updates, but they're also, like, not interested in paying for the more enhanced SEO and the actual active writing. So I'm like, well, if you're happy with the leads and you're not complaining, and I'm still working, like, making sure you have the latest schema or, like, putting LLMS.txt, which nobody knows if that works or not, or, you know, and all those things. So I still run across a decent amount of that. I do also more often run across people being like, I want to rank for X keyword. I want to rank for foundation crack repair. And then I'm like, go pull up foundation crack repair and tell it, like, here's what the SERP looks like. It is a shopping and informational query with no businesses on it. Or the same thing happens with insulation. People are like, I want to rank for attic insulation. When you search attic insulation, it's Owens Corning and Home Depot and Lowe's and products, and there's a maps listing, where three companies show up that do nothing but that. And I'm like, it's just not a great keyword to rank for. It's, you know, there's too much competition from major corporate players on those that we're never going to rank number one for it. It doesn't matter what your domain authority is or whatever you like, whatever the arbitrary ranking number that you want to give it is. Like, you could be a $30 million a month company and you're not. Like, it's not going to make you rank for this keyword because that keyword doesn't have anything to do with people actually searching for that service. Like, you have to really, and I find having to do manual, like actual true manual keyword research, going and not just looking at volumes on like SEMrush or Ahrefs or anything like that, and getting the keyword intent, but going and actually looking at the search and then seeing, okay, it's got this and this and this on it. And those are informational, and then it's got these three commercials. So, like, I have to figure out how is the content that I'm going to write fit into that.
One thing that I have been digging into this week is search volume. I had a keyword phrase that my SEO site ranks for, and Google AdWords API served up through OpenSEO said that there were 10 searches for it a month. But when I looked at my GSE, I had over 1,100 impressions for that same search phrase. So, you know, putting it out there, I got a few different types of feedback about that discrepancy. You know, it is, both numbers are from Google. You know, one's from Google Search Console and one is from Google AdWords API. One factor to consider is, hey, if you show up in a people also ask entry on another keyword for that phrase, you don't show up on the original query. It'll show you what the PAA was for your phrase. So there's this horizontal split that isn't represented. So
that's happening with AI overviews too, is it is counting your little logo icon as a reference. It is counting that as an impression. And then it's putting it in Search Console as organic impressions. Because for whatever reason, while they do have rolled out that, you know, generative AI overview in Search Console, they're not pulling the data out of the actual other view, out of the regular search view. So, like, you know, you can see a lot of impressions for a search. I will say this is, like, sometimes it seems like it's also accounting it as a click when someone clicks into the AI overview where you're cited. And I don't have any data to back that up, but I think that is happening a little bit. So the horizontal nature of searches and how it's like splitting out your impressions across different values is very valid. And it doesn't help. It really doesn't help us from an impression standpoint. You know,
it, It's the organic click-through rate for an entry in a PAA. It does exist, but it's a fraction of, I remember Advanced Web Ranking did mm-hmm. a study on it, and I think it was equal to, you know, 9th or 10th place, you know, the same. But if you look at, you know, for 10 blue links, what that tends to be, that's pretty low.
Mm-hmm. It's also, like, have you ever, like, you run across search terms that have both commercial and informational searches?
Oh, yeah.
That's happening a lot more now. So, like, I have an example. It's great because it's my example. So, like, if you search for waterproofing marketing in most places in the United States, I'm number one. And then I also have a blog article that is number three. That may be accurate for you because I haven't checked in a while, but, like, I just checked it now. So, like, it's got both informational and service pages. And I'm not the only one with more than one result on that search. You know, I've got a competitor that does good work there that is also in the search, but his is reverse. It's an article first and then a service page section second. So it's really interesting that, like, sometimes I think it's just willy-nilly and Google's like, all right, I'm not sure what this search intent is, like, for foundation, like foundation settlement repair. Like, it's a combo. It's commercial and informational because, like, it's one of those services, and we talk about this all the time with our clients. It's like, foundation repair, the whole concept or the whole, like, structure of that service platform is education, because someone will see a crack in their basement and they will just ignore it if it's not accurate.
Yeah.
Someone will have sticking windows and doors and they will just ignore it because they think it's the house being. So, like, the main barrier to getting those jobs is actually educating the customer that, like, hey, you do have a problem and we offer free inspections, and then still getting them to bite on the education to actually make a conversion, and getting people, like, disseminating that information can be really difficult because it's a really boring topic that nobody wants to listen to. And, like, you can't, like, unfortunately, and I do think they're doing something new that is along these lines, but, like, This Old House doesn't really exist. I think there's a new show that is very much along those lines. Someone was telling me about it and I haven't looked at it yet. But, like, those shows that used to educate people about their homes, that would really help the home service industry, they're not really popular anymore. They got HGTV'd out of business with, you know, all of the shows on that network that are just like, we're going to build a house, we're going to remodel a house, but nothing really explaining, like, what's going on, what to look at, general home maintenance, things like that. Like, there's nobody out there doing it.
It seems like it's a good moment for if you can either get your client to be interviewed. You can mm-hmm. interview them internally. I did this for Permacast in Florida and interviewed both the installation manager and the CEO internally. Could only use half the stuff for the CEO, not because it wasn't relevant, but just because he used so much shorthand in what he was talking mm-hmm. about. But talking to the installation manager of, okay, what's in the way when you get there to getting the job done? He's like, oh, well, you know, they didn't know that they needed this much clearance and there needed to be this much space along the line where the concrete wall was going to sit forever. How do other people not realize that, oh, hey, when we spec and measure this, it's concrete. It is this wide. There's no adjustment. It's going in. We yep. make it this width. We make it this size. It's staying that size. There's no fudge factor. There's no accommodation. No, that's a poured, you know, multiple ton brick of cement now. Sorry. If you didn't, you got to go out and triple, you got to measure and then measure again.
Well, and those are all great instances for, like, boom, there's another article. Boom, there's another article. One thing I run across a lot with that is, like, getting contractors to put pricing on their website. Nobody wants to do it. Yes. And it's like, when you ask them, they think, oh, it's like a pricing page, like someone's going to buy it at that price. Or I'm like, no, I've written articles. You give a big range. So, like, you know, you go, this project type could cost you $5,000 to $30,000 plus, depending on a bunch of factors. And you tell them what the factors are, what actually affects it. You know, and you, if you're publishing that information, it will get picked up by Google. There's no doubt. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter how small a company you are. If you're willing to publish price range information for specific types of jobs, Google loves that stuff. Like anything you can pull out of your CRM that is a true data point, like it doesn't have access to any of that information. It's not going to, like, it will try and make it up based on, like, it'll try and make up foundation repair costs based on my articles that I wrote for it, you know?
Yeah.
And that can have a really decent local impact as well, because you can really localize those cost articles to specific areas. And so, you know, while it seems counterintuitive that people don't want their competitors to see their pricing, so they don't want to undercut the pricing, it's one of those things where it's like, it's just trust builder, and it will net you more leads than it will lose you, because your competitor, who may or may not do a substantially poorer job than you, is now going to then undercut your pricing to do an even poorer job. Like, you know, I try to work with companies that I would stand behind the work that they did if I was at that company.
Yeah.
And I'm proud to say that I don't have anybody. I have turned down people before, years in the past when they came to me and they're like, I want to do this type of website for this type of service. And then they told me, and it's in a foundation repair market, and it was for foundation crack repair. And then they told me the method they were using. And I straight up told the guy, I'm like, I can't do that. You're going to charge people money for a non-permanent fix claiming it's permanent. Like, I can't even optimize for that, because you're just going to get bad reviews. So no. So like, I've told people no before. Try to screen that out, because it's easier to work with people who stand behind their work.
Absolutely. Yeah. There have been hard no's, you know, not just in the casinos, pills, niches. There are people who have, either in the conversation, what they worked on, you know, that's, you know, if they're coming out the gate like, okay, oh, can you put, you know, a bunch of extra pages and, you know, just get us to rank right away. You know, can you buy us a bunch of links from, you know, I don't know how to get the most links from India. And one guy said, he's like, I want the most links you can buy me from India. I'm like, wow, right out the gate. Like, no, that's really bad idea. And you know, I'm not willing to, like, I'm not willing to engage in, like, overtly risky optimizations for you, because then it's going to come back to me. Like, that's just bad business on my behalf. If I know something is truly black hat and has a true risk of getting your business banned, like, I'll tell you if it's real or not, but I'm not going to do it for you.
No, I get that. And back on the topic of that I brought up earlier with, like, a lot of people get burned by agencies, burned working overseas. There's a lot of companies out there that are willing to sell you a promise to get a temporary gain on their behalf, in my opinion.
Yeah.
In our industry, it's a problem. I mean, and every industry has it, where they're willing to do the work for way less and it's just not going to be as good a work. And this, like, selling our services, like, I need you to trust my expertise. So I need you to understand that, like, I'm not going to lie to you, even sales process. So if you come to me and you're like, how long is it going to take me? I just started this business. I bought this domain. It has no domain history. It's never been on the internet before. It's for this competitive plumbing niche. How long is it going to take for you to rank this website? And my answer is going to be like, currently, 6 to 9 months for you to start seeing organic leads coming through, most likely.
Yeah.
There are things we can do that will generate organic leads. Like, the business listing will help. Getting some reviews on the business listing will help. It'll generate its own organic leads. But the business listing isn't the website. It's not actually organic traffic. You know, or, you know, you can run ads, but you're going to spend the first 2 weeks you start an ad account. It's going to take you 2 weeks of spending money and getting nothing just to figure out if it's going to work in the future. You know,
yeah.
And you know, I've made a lot of really good business partnerships and relationships selling that way, and I think I've protected myself a lot from compromising my own, like, reputation by saying, no, I won't guarantee that. And, like, people that are willing to guarantee you specific rankings for specific keywords, they're just lying to you, because there is no way to guarantee that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a lot of where I come from. Like, I could pick a really niche, low competition keyword and be like, yeah, I can get you ranking for that. No problem. There's like 3 articles on the internet for it. But you know, I try to be honest about how business works for the home service industry with my business owners, and I think that nets me a lot of trust. Given, you know, and I've been doing this for 10 years. I've been writing these pages and doing research. Like, you know, some of these industries, I have been doing it longer than some of the people that I'm working with have owned their own business in that industry. So, I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic.
What, in your opinion, is the low-hanging fruit in SEO right now? You know, what is the tried and true? Maybe trite, maybe predictable, but hey, it works. Do it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all the normal stuff that you can find everywhere, like standard technical optimization, you know, and this is all like, if you're working in SEO, it's all the basic stuff that you should do on a website, your minimum standard for launching a website. So I'm not going to go into that stuff. It's going to be on the injection of EAT into, you know, stuff, which I don't want to be vague about. I feel like it's a very vague topic and it gets a lot of very vague answers in the SEO space. You know, injecting EEAT into a website is about a couple of things. And, you know, there's a lot of things you can do, but the things that I try and focus on are real customer and company photos, before and afters, on service pages showing this is our work before and after, even to the point of potentially writing a job story and being like, hey, here's four pictures from this job. This is what this homeowner had. This is why we installed this. And then I said it earlier, write cost articles, get your people to let you put pricing and ranges on the website. That stuff is like, that's like super easy. Like, if you can get them to give you pricing ranges and you can write an article, you will show up organically and in AI over. Period. Like, so I would say, I guess that's probably the easiest thing.
So putting pricing both on the service page and also making
just an article.
Just an article,
yeah,
like
just a, you know, just a blog article, like how much does attic insulation cost in St. Louis?
Okay.
You know, so, and then going over their pricing on average insulation costs and the factors that affect it. And you can protect yourself by saying, all right, my customer has given me a $6,000 to $13,000 range for average attic insulation job in the St. Louis area. I'm going to publish a $6,000 to $17,000 range.
Yeah.
Like, you protect yourself, then you make it very clear that this is an estimate range depending on a lot of factors. You explain all those factors. And that's it. Those things will rank. It's a no-brainer, in my opinion, to go put that stuff on a website as long as you can get your customer to give you that information.
Absolutely love it. Give a shout out for your brand. It was kind of wrap up here. How anybody who's listening has a home service business or is a SMB owner and wants to get in touch with you, can they find you? Are you on socials? Do you have any extra resources for them?
Yeah, so I do a lot of the, like, as far as social media goes, I do a lot of organic posting on LinkedIn under just my personal profile for Alex Ratatek. Mostly just because I wasn't having a lot of luck going the agency route on social. So I was like, oh, I've got expertise. I can publish this. So if you look at me up on LinkedIn at Alex Ratatek, you can go to my website, nuvoagency.com. That's nuvoagency.com. You know, we specialize in home services and B2B websites, a combination. But we will pretty much work with any customer, both home services and personal services. You know, we do subscription based websites, so there's no large upfront fee. You basically just pay one monthly fee. And for a period of time, we build you a custom website, do the optimization, both from a technical and organic SEO optimization. We can do digital advertising. We could do social media advertising. I can do integrations, business automations, consulting, a little bit of everything, basically whatever your business needs to succeed. From a marketing and operations standpoint. Take a look at what we do and reach out.
Absolutely love it. For everybody that's listening, there will be a copy of the show notes published at unscriptedseo.com. I'm going to hand over an article for Alex himself for his site. If you want to read more in depth, listen again to this interview. If you're anywhere you're listening, make sure you like and subscribe. Thanks for stopping by, Alex.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jeremy.